The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeehaw! Welcome to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate Rogue One, 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I'm Liz Whitaker. Yeehaw!
Closing out the week with Liz.
Sorry, I'm not yeehawing everybody.
Debbie Downer over there. We're talking about minute 45. That should cheer you up. Minute 45 starts out with Chirrut asking what's wrong with that pilot, and it ends a minute later with Hollow Galen Erso hoping that Jyn Erso is still alive after all these years.
What's wrong with that pilot is the new kind of competition show where they make like the first episode of their TV program that they want to make, and then everybody compares them, and
everybody gets to give notes. It's competitive note giving.
Exactly.
And then the winner gets to say, "I'm the pilot."
Right.
I like that. I want to go on that show.
What's your pitch?
No. I want to give notes.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I want to be the competitive note giver.
So this scene, especially with all the Death Star, has so much 1977 iconography in it. Like the guys with the helmets commencing primary ignition. You got the buttons. You got the graphics on the screen. So much of it looks I think I said before it's in its own way it's just as fandering as the Force Awakens is,
right? But in a different way.
Yeah, like a slightly different type of fetishist.
Right.
So,
this is what I'm here for. I love, I think I've said in the past, like I could watch people kind of flipping switches and stuff. I could watch a whole movie of that, of flipping kind of console switches.
Mm-hmm.
This is premium switch flipping in this minute.
Does that mean premium? They're switching premium. They're
like the switches are premium or the flipping is premium.
Well, they're really good at, they're doing a really great job at it, but also those are top of the line switches.
So that's some premium flipping of premium switches.
Right.
Yeah.
Double premium.
The premium, double the just moon destruction.
This is getting out of hand.
Now there are two of them.
They're not destructing. They're not here to destroy a moon. It turns out they're just gonna kill the city.
Mm-hmm. It's
is
interesting
there
that they
else on the moon.
There must be other. Is there just one town in the whole planet?
No, there's got to be other. I'm sure. Like, it'd be funny if like this is this, crazy like desert like rural thing, and then once you go like quarter of the way around the planet, there's just like normal suburbs.
It's like a booming metropolis.
Right.
It was like I
heard a really interesting theory about why Star Wars planets are only one biome. Because they got into planet modification. What is that called? Terraforming?
Terraforming.
They got into terraforming very early, and they weren't especially good at it, so they could only do one type of environment per planet.
All right. I can get behind that.
Okay, I think I saw that, but I don't know. Terraforming bothers me I don't know. I had mixed feelings about it. I didn't read the whole thing. I was just like, no, terraforming. And I went right by it.
I'm sure it's something I think that's just better without any kind of explanation. Yeah. So it doesn't really need one, but I thought that was kind of an interesting reach around. So yeah, here we get a holographic plea from Galen Erso.
Yes. Well, this is well, first off though, I think,
right? You want to talk about Saw Gerrera?
I mean, I kind of do, because it's there's a weird cutting thing.
You're right.
There, like, it seems like, it's actually not going to be Saw, but it almost is, because it seems like there's a cutting thing where it's like each little scene seems like it's leading up to something, but then it just cuts to the other one. Like we joked about it yesterday with the, all right, we're starting up the reactor, and then cut to, Chirrut, and it's like, oh, is he going to react? Is he going to react to the reactor? But then it's just kind of like, he's like, hey, who's that pilot? And then, then they're like, oh, they talk to the pilot, and then he kind of wakes up, and then it cuts back to the Death Star, and then it just cuts back to, Saw and Jin. And it seems like almost like each scene is building up to like the next thing is going to be something related or something spun off of that. But it doesn't, like, the way that the scenes are structured seems like something's building a little bit, but it seems more, immediate than it actually is. A weird sense. And that's not necessarily a criticism. I like this movie. I'm comfortable with the pacing of it, but just this particular sequence, it cuts back and forth a little bit too much, maybe, for me.
You're getting a lot of baby cliffhangers.
Yes. I'm hanging babies off of cliffs.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. I don't, again, it's not a criticism, but it's like it's. Oh, again, and the first couple of times I saw it, I didn't really think anything of it because it flows enough. It's never just totally derailing. It's never like, why are we here?
Mm-hmm. Why are any of us here?
Yeah, but breaking it down minute by minute, I noticed.
Yeah, in this 1 minute, you essentially get every character except for K2SO.
Should just cut back to him in the car, just like rocking out to like Oldie Station.
Oh, that would be great, because then he's just like totally jamming, like singing along. And then in a future minute, when the Death Star actually fires on the moon, he hears it and he just like looks up and is totally disoriented because he's just been having a jam party.
Right.
Eating jam.
Yeah. Like, he's actually, it's like his cousin Danger Boat from The Tick, who has like dance parties.
Or I was going to say Benoit Blanc in Knives Out, where he's jamming out and doesn't notice the cops all pulling up to the thing.
Never seen it.
All right, sorry.
Too new.
Do they have a scene later on where K2SO is... Does he wait until Cassian is calling him before he comes, or is he already on his way? Because it seems like if the Death Star is about to shoot, he'd already have to at least be starting up the car to get there in time.
I feel like he's already in motion. He's not very good at following instructions. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he decided to move early, and because it suited Cassian's needs, he didn't complain this time.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. We'll keep our ears open for that. Mm. See how he reacts. So one thing I thought was kind of interesting, when you see holographic Galen Erso, If you look on his arm, he has like a patch.
I love that patch.
Yeah.
That patch is the symbol of the Tarkin Initiative, which is a division of the Empire's engineering department that is specifically under Tarkin's kind of like supervision and his kind of like purview. So that patch is supposed to look like a kyber crystal on there, but it almost to me it almost looks like a TIE fighter wing.
Yeah, I thought it was more like that. Well, again, like it's weird. I think that the generic Imperial insignia looks kind of like I thought it was originally supposed to just be a Death Star insignia, and then they just applied it, just like Jen, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi's Jedi robes.
Surely. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where, originally it was supposed to be like, oh, he's hiding out in the desert. That's why he's dressed like that. And it's like, no, every Jedi dresses like that. but they, I don't think that was the case. I think because I was reading about John Mallow, who designed the Imperial insignia, said he was specifically just kind of, didn't say that it wasn't only supposed to be for the Death Star, but he didn't say that it was for the Death Star. He was talking about it as an Imperial insignia.
Got it.
So my understanding might be mistaken, just like with this. So it's not a TIE fighter thing. It's a kyber crystal. Maybe the TIE fighter is a model to look like kyber crystals.
Hmm.
Well, I thought it was the, how the rays, sure, come out of the little satellite dish and meet up and form one. I thought it was like a reverse view of that,
like what it looks like if you're in the either on the ground looking up at it or if you're looking at it from inside the Death Star.
Yeah,
and the beams are all firing
looking at
like
a little porthole.
Yeah, I could see that.
Hmm. I also like the way that, we've talked a lot about how how Jin is kind of the inverse of Luke Skywalker, as far as storyline goes. Yeah, she's a girl, mainly. but Luke was the one on the farm wanting to go away to war. Jin was the one who was, in the war wanting to go back to the farm, et cetera, et cetera. And, then we get the scene where, Jin is in the desert hideout, seeing, a hologram message, from a relative, from the Clone Wars afterwards, addressing somebody from one of the animated series, where they're talking about hope and needing help and all that. It's a very, exact mirror, but it's a interesting, again, following that thread of being the opposite. It's an interesting thing that
well, it's also, they're both messages about the Death Star too. They're both right.
It's the message that leads to the message. Like I thought about it and then I was like, oh, well, that's just like, an hour from now, the other message.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, and they're like in this message, he's telling her what, like, basically that the again, same thing. He's gonna tell them to give them the seed to get the plans that then will be the seed of the message that Luke gets. And so it's this, we're rapidly approaching the point where the two mirrors meet. That's not a thing. But you know what I mean.
where the two mirrors touch.
Exactly. We're about to touch the mirror. Don't touch the mirror.
Mm.
Get close. Don't touch it.
Don't even point at it.
No. No, you're not angry.
So what else? Anyone else have anything else for minute 45?
I this minute does give me a new life goal. Someday I want my name to be some sort of magical word that makes something happen.
What do you mean?
I don't know if it has to. Well, because at the beginning of this minute is when Cassian actually says Galen Erso's name and breaks Bodhi's spell.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, someday somebody will say my name and something magical will happen. It doesn't have to be an abused pilot coming back to his senses, but just, you know, something magical.
What would be your choice if you could pick what it would do?
A delicious meal would appear.
Oh, boy. Nice.
That is a good option. I was going to say, if anybody out there is a hypnotist or anything like that, they want to plant a subliminal command, post-hypnotic suggestion, whatever, in somebody when using Liz's name as the keyword, please. What is called keyword? I don't know.
Sure.
Safe
word. Well, and actually, I think you could basically make it appear like magic because you hypnotize the person, they're in La La Land, whatever happens. You put a delicious meal in front of them, then you say my name, and they believe that my name is what made the meal appear.
Ah, I like it.
Right.
More like a time freeze than a...
Yeah, basically, if I could just freeze time while meals are being prepared and placed in front of me, I think that'd be pretty great.
So we like to ask our guests, we've been asking our guests three different questions. Do you have time for three questions?
I'm ready.
Number one, here's the number one question. If you could own a ship from the Star Wars universe, what type of ship, what ship do you want?
So you got to think about like utility, but also
coolness,
sneak ability. Cool, there's got to be a cool factor, but also, you know, when you're thinking about spaceships, it's like, well, if I have a big one, then can I take it and park it at like a city dock and, you know, run into the mall or whatever, or just buy groceries? So obviously I really, really like the cartoons. I think I would go with the Ghost from Rebels because it's got a little docking port for a smaller shuttle,
mm-hmm.
which they name the Phantom because that's cute. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can leave your big ship just orbiting the planet and, you know, go on a day trip with your little shuttle and have the best of both worlds. Also, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if Han Solo like needs to buy groceries and this grocery store is 3 miles away, does he get in the Falcon how do they handle local trips like that? It seems like overkill to get in the Millennium Falcon to take a trip that's 3 miles away.
He gets delivery. He's calling like shipped or something.
I guess
he's rolling up on a speeder.
Yeah, or droid. Yeah, droid pulls up.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's just a droid. Oh, what do you think a grocery delivery droid would look like?
Green, probably.
Like a shopping cart?
Yeah.
Like a gonk droid, but it's a basket?
Ooh.
Yeah, I would picture it being like a land speeder, but with like different compartments and like, you know, could pull up, drop off 3 crates, go to another one, you know, be very automated.
Oh, and they dump off the side like a toy dump truck?
Exactly. They just throw your food all over the floor.
Right. Like that viral video of the garbage truck picking up the thing, throwing it all over the place.
Seems like a very, like, that seems like a really Star Wars grocery delivery method to me.
Yeah.
Right.
L3 got to that droid.
I do like the idea of it having separate compartments, like a McDLT kind of a thing, where it's like, all right, all the frozen stuff is going in here, all the stuff that's kind of room temperature is going in here. If I ordered anything
proper
hot,
bagging
prepared
technique,
foods. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you know Han is getting like that roasted chicken delivered like once a week.
Right.
I'm going to go one further, and I'm going to say that the droid actually is preparing the food as it is delivering it, so that when you get it, it's like fresh, just finished, as opposed to, you know, the half hour it takes to get from the...
Okay, it's like the next step up from those Domino's delivery vehicles that have like a warming compartment in the vehicle.
Right.
Exactly.
But it's actually being cooked while it's on the way to you.
Yeah. How come they haven't done that yet? But they just put all, you know, they assemble the pizza and then just throw it into the back
and
of
just
the truck.
On the radiator.
And then, yeah, the truck cooks it while you're driving.
Yeah. You're feeding two birds with one stone.
Seems like a really efficient use of energy, too.
Yeah. So the second question, so you said the ghost and the phantom. We'll give you two for the price of one.
Also, it has cool artwork spray painted on the inside.
No, I'm sorry. It's like when you're moving into an apartment, whoever's selling it to you would have to paint it brand new.
Oh,
like,
they'd paint it back to
white walls. Oh. Yeah. But it has that nice painty smell, though.
Spray paint.
Second question is, what type of droid do you want to own? What type of droid do you want to own? This is in your house. This is in your current life.
A dishes droid. Like, I need a housekeeper droid.
Like Rosie.
We don't see any housekeeper droids, do we?
As long as it does the dishes, that's fine. I can do the other chores. I just really hate the dishes. I would be
so you'd
no
want like C-3PO, but with dishes.
Or like
those
ones that did the ones that replaced Padme's window, but those seem like they would be maybe.
Do you think 3PO can do dishes? Can he get wet?
I feel like he'd have a hard time. Oh, for some reason, I feel like he's not actually washing them by hand. He's putting them in the dishwasher. Like, I'm thinking of loading the dishwasher and how hard it would be for 3PO to maneuver from the sink.
Wait a minute.
To
Are you saying you
down.
Want a droid just to load the dishwasher?
I mean, even that would be a plus. I mean,
that would be so helpful.
Does does it at least unload the dishwasher too, or do you have to get a separate droid for that?
It's a separate droid because it also has a built-in fan to make sure that any of the condensation that got left over, no streaking.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of again going back to a gonk, but it's a dishwasher. And then there's another little droid that just walks around to load it. There's a gonk whose face flops
around.
Down and it's a dishwasher, but then there's another one that just grabs all the dishes and loads them into the other droid.
I love the idea that we have 50 different droids to do 50 different jobs rather than having one droid that can do both things.
Right. Or the top, the gonk is a top-loading dishwasher and it has extendable arms that it can just pick up the dishes and then place it in its own head.
Whoa.
I like that.
Well, why don't you just store all your dishes inside the gonk droid? And that way...
They're always clean.
Yeah, they're always clean.
And then he can also make the table. Set the table. Make the table.
He can be the table.
Maybe he can also...
He can be the table.
Oh, he can be the table.
Oh, see, we're workshopping this into something awesome.
Be the table you wish to see at dinner.
All right, so we got that. You want a dishwashing, you want a droid that loads dishwashers.
And if they could also prepare healthy meals for me, I wouldn't hate it.
Whoa.
I know, I'm getting really asky.
Healthy meals, no less.
Well, yeah, because I can make the unhealthy ones myself.
That's true.
They're pretty easy. I can throw a frozen pizza in the oven.
It does take long to microwave a Hot Pocket.
Exactly. It's the ones that have multiple ingredients and steps and things. But after a long day of work, you just don't want to do.
Yeah. Then you have to wash dishes afterwards.
Exactly.
The final question is, now this is not in the Star Wars universe, but this is in our universe. You are approached by J.J. Abrams about getting to be an extra in Star Wars. What type of role do you want? Do you want to be an alien? Do you want to be a robot? Do you want your face to be seen? What are your thoughts? What do you see? How can I get Liz Whittaker in this picture?
Pure screen time. If I'm going runtime of how long my face is on screen, I think my best bet is to be the person standing behind someone important. So, just the person that's standing behind General whoever as they're laying out a plan. And you're just, yes, great idea. But make my just fulfill all my little heart dreams. I want to be the pilot.
You want to be a pilot?
Yeah.
Like one of the pilots standing behind, like that Leia is addressing.
No, in an aircraft.
That kind of a thing. Oh, okay.
In a ship. I want to be flying a ship.
You want to be Nine Nunb?
Sure, I can giggle. In fact, that would probably, that's like the best version of a pilot for me to be. I could be an alien pilot. That's fine.
A laughing alien.
So you wouldn't mind wearing a mask and prosthetics and stuff, or do you want your face? Because some people want it so that their face is on screen so they can show their friends, that's me on screen.
I just want to be in a ship.
In a ship.
Yeah. If I get to sit down and be like in one quarter of an X-Wing set, sure. That's fine.
All right. So now so we've established that you are going to be a pilot on the Ghost with a dishwashing droid. That is your, that's your role.
Sounds like pretty great life.
Yeah.
Thing that like preteen girls do with the paper and all that. Are you setting her up for like,
oh, yeah, the MASH game?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Who you're going to marry and,
what kind of house you're going to live in.
Yeah.
You don't mean the MASH board game. We're not talking about the MASH board game.
No.
That's no, the little, cootie catchers, I think people also called them.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I always found those to be fascinating. And I always wanted to know like how they worked, but it was like such a girl thing that the idea of a boy doing that would have been unacceptable in the 70s. I still don't know how they work.
You start with a square of paper.
Oh, hold on. Let me write this down. Mm-hmm. Square.
And I'm out.
Okay.
First, you have to take a sheet of lined notebook paper and you have to fold it over a little bit so that you can tear off the edge so that you get a square.
Mm-hmm. Can I just start with a square paper?
If you have that, sure. Okay. But that's fancy.
Hmm.
Hmm.
And then you fold it.
And you make one of those things.
In a way. And I don't remember any of the other steps.
I'm sure there's some YouTube video about it. I want to be able to tell the future.
Yeah, but there's significant amounts of folding that I cannot describe for you.
So I guess that'll wrap up minute 45 and Liz Whitaker week. Liz, thanks for joining us this week.
I was happy to be here this week.
And if you've enjoyed the comedy stylings of Liz, please check out Mean Girls Minute and Wait a Dune Minute, which should be posted by the time this airs, correct?
Oh, wait. For sure. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Awesome.
It's, you could probably actually binge it by the time this airs.
Okay. I can't. So is that waitaduneminute.com?
You can find it at actually librarycardmedia.com.
Okay. So Pete, that means you can go by. You can go by.
Right.
Pete, you can camp on waitaduneminute.com and force us to buy it from you.
I'm waiting.
Nice. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. One last plug. Hey, if you want to hear us talk some more, go over to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon. And depending on how much you want to support us, you can either get a show on Saturday or an additional show on Saturday and an additional show on Sunday. How about that? You can hear us every single day if you really want to. I also want to encourage people to check out the Kanji Club level of support, where you get a limited edition signed print by yours truly. I've been really enjoying. I've been doing a poster for every movie so far. And I'm up to, I think, the Force Awakens was the last one. So not too late to get some prints if you want. You can do that by going to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon. And we'll see you on Monday with another Star Wars Minute!
Star Wars Minute. The podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.